Amen. That song is very powerful. But you know what else is powerful? Our God. And I am so thankful you chose to worship Him today here at Azalea City. What a blessing it is to be a part of this forever family. I know I've said it in different ways. I've said it last week. I said it through social media. I said it through some personal texts to others. But I want to say to this entire congregation, thank you. Thank you for last weekend. I am telling you, it never ceases to amaze me how amazing this church family is. Really, I mean, I can't think of the weekend going any better. It was just a beautiful time to celebrate our history and praise our Father for the good things that He has done for 75 years through this church family here at Azalea City. And those who've been members for the longest here, to those who've been members at the shortest time here, everybody pitched in. And I'm so thankful for that. That makes this preacher's heart feel so good. And I love you, love you, love you. And I thank you, thank you, thank you. And I, of course, thank our Heavenly Father for allowing us this opportunity. And I look forward to the next 75 years or 100 years or 200 years. I won't be here at that point, but you understand this church will still be going as long as the Lord wills. And I am so thankful that we have this opportunity now to discuss some things from God's Word. There are few things in life that are more dangerous, especially in the Christian life, than good intentions that never turn into action. You know, it sounds good to say, I meant to pray, or I mean to pray today. I meant to read my Bible this morning. I meant to get up a little bit earlier and go to Bible class. By the way, we have some great Bible classes here. And listen, I know, man, there is a lot of reason that can come before you with maybe temptation or struggles or whatever it may be. But if you can at all, get up a little bit earlier. Maybe prepare the night before. And we've been having some great Bible class numbers, but our Bible class teachers are the best there is. And they're doing a great job. And our participants, and I mean it, from the babies all the way up, we've got a place for you. But sometimes we have good intentions, right? I meant to prepare to give today. I meant to forgive that person. I meant to grow in my faith. We may not say it that way, but if we're honest with ourselves, we've probably been in situations where we said, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, and we didn't do this, that, or this. Because we had good intentions. But if we're not careful, we can build a life on intentions rather than obedience. You see, having good intentions is good as long as it's followed with action. As long as it's followed with obedience. You know, the Bible reminds us in James chapter 2, and that's where we're going to be today, is the book of James. In James chapter 2, verse 17, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. Think about that. We've heard that verse a lot if we've been in our spiritual walk for any time, right? Faith without works is dead. But as much as we know it, as much as we read it, as much as we say it, as much as we quote it, sometimes we have faith, but we do not have works. You know, people have tried to argue passages in the Bible. Pick them apart, right? For instance, we understand that to get into Jesus Christ, there must be immersion, right? Go into all the world, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. Lo, I'm with you always, even at the end of this age. That's recorded a couple times in Scripture. Mark is one of them. For instance, he who is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. And I have heard people say, well, see, that's the separation. It didn't say, if you're not baptized, you're condemned. Well, let me explain something to you. Here's where I'm going with this. The early readers, the early workers, those who were writing the Bible, those who were alive in that time, they understood that belief didn't just mean you think something. They knew that it meant action. But somewhere along the way, we lost that. Different Christianity places that teach Christianity, different congregations, different denominations, different places like that, they have taught, hey, you know, it's just you gotta believe, you know, believe in your heart, believe in your head. But let me say something to you. It was never meant to just be a thought. When the Holy Spirit inspired these writers, it was always an action. Always. And so that's where we have to fight that today, because I understand that we must believe, right? Somebody say, hey, you need to believe in God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I'm like, I agree with you. He's got to live in your heart. He's got to live in your mind and soul strength. But it also leads to action, not just good intentions. You see, in James 2:17, he didn't say, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is weak. Well, that means you got a weak faith. You might have a faith and you're not working. Well, it's just weak. He didn't say that. He didn't say, oh, well, you got a struggling faith. Think about that. Well, you know, I believe, but I have these good intentions, but, oh, well, your faith's just struggling. That's not what he said. He said it's dead. He said, if you've got faith and you're not active in the Lord, it's a dead faith. Not my words. James' words, more specifically, the Holy Spirit's. God is not moved by what we meant to do. He's not moved or impressed by what we meant to do with good intentions. He is glorified by what we actually do. There is no argument, folks. We must have faith. We must have faith. I forgot to change the slide. That's my fault. But this is the kind of faith we have to have. A faith that, number one, is practicing and not just professing. You ever heard the saying, talk is cheap? Man, as a coach, Justin, you ever heard that before? Hey, coach, I'm gonna run that route better this time. Hey, coach, I messed up on that one, but I'm going to do it next time. Hey, coach, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Guess what? Don't tell me, show me. Right? Talk is cheap. If I'd have been in that game, I'd have done this, this, and this. Well, then practice and do it and get in the game, right? You see, talk is cheap. Listen to James 2:14-16. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says, again, professing, right? Someone says he has faith but does not have works. Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, that's good intentions, that's verbiage, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? James describes a faith here that doesn't just speak, it serves. Jesus Christ came into this world to seek and save the lost, but to serve. He gave up being equal with God to serve. Jesus when all the disciples were saying, where is the person to wash our feet? We need to have somebody washing our feet. Don't they know that you're supposed to wash our feet? Jesus put the towel on and washed their feet. You see, he didn't just speak it, he did it. He's not asked us to do anything that he hasn't done. He's not asking us to create something. He's asking us to love him with everything we've got and do. Get busy. You see, faith that James is talking about here, it doesn't just feel compassion. It follows through. That's what he said. He said, how many of you, you know, somebody shows up and they don't have clothes and they're hungry and you say, hey, you know what? Bless you. Good luck to you, brother. That's Terry's paraphrase of it, but that's what he's saying. Well, guess what? If we don't do something about it, what good has that done? Oh, I had compassion on them, but what did you really do about it? You see, the kind of faith he's talking about professes belief, but never practices obedience. We should never be a church that talks the part and doesn't do the work. Go in peace, be warmed and filled, but I'm not going to do anything about it. You see, a professing faith without practicing obedience, you know what that is? Powerless. It's empty words. It's that same kid who says, hey, or that same player that says, you know, I could have done this, and done this, and they never do anything. And so you know they didn't do this, this, and this that they told you they were going to do. You know, it's that same way with our children at home, right? I want you to create something productive today, right? I want you to do something productive today. And they do nothing. Well, you didn't tell me what to do. You know, I had good intentions. I was going to do it if you done this. God has told us what to do. And there's coming a day when he's going to judge us, right? Not by what we believed, but what we did. How many times have we said we would pray? Or maybe pray for someone else, and we never did. How many times have we said we care, but we didn't do anything? See, intentions sound good, but quite frankly, they don't serve people. So we can't have a faith that is professing and not practicing. We must have a faith that is practicing and not just professing. But that's not all the kind of faith James tells us we need to have. He says we also need to have a faith that is demonstrating and not dead. We looked at it just a moment ago. So also faith by itself, James 2:17. So faith, also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is not weak, it is not struggling, it is dead. He didn't soften the language here. And I appreciate that, don't you? You know, I'm thankful he didn't, as we say, beat around the bush. He got straight to the point. The Holy Spirit inspired James to say, don't mislead, you speak it straight. He didn't say weak, he didn't say immature, he said dead. Real faith is demonstrated. If faith is real. Again, they understood it. When James is writing this, when Mark was writing, when Matthew was writing, when Paul was writing, when Luke was writing, when they were writing, John was writing, we could go on, right, in the New Testament. When they were writing, the crowds around them, the audience they were speaking to, they understood faith meant action. They understood it. So that's why a lot of times it'll say, well, if you believe, you know, they meant you got to get up and do something about it. My favorite story to tell that to is the diseased woman in Mark 5. You remember her, right? She had the issue that caused her to lose blood. which would make her weak, right? The less blood you have, the weaker you are. And so she had suffered with this for 12 years. 12 years. That's a long time. Well, why didn't she go to the doctor? Oh, she did. In fact, she spent all the money she had going to doctors, and she didn't get any better. She only got worse. So guess what? She hears the great physician is coming to town. Now, picture in your mind a woman who has lost blood daily like this for 12 years, right? She's just, you know, not to go into detail what's happening in her life, but biologically, she is struggling. Physically, she's struggling. She's weak. She's broke. What else am I going to do? If she had a couch, as we would call it, a couch in her house, imagine her sitting on that couch in her den area, and somebody said, a neighbor says, hey, you know, Jesus, the man who's healing people, he's coming to town. You know, I believe he could heal you. And she says, you know what, I believe he can heal me too. And she stays sitting on that couch while he passes by. She believed. But did she get better? If that's the way that story goes, no, she didn't. But here's the way that story goes. She believes that Jesus Christ can heal her. So you know what she does? She gets off her couch, so to speak. She goes out her door. She walks to where that huge crowd is. And there are people literally pulling at Jesus. Pulling at him. They call it thronging him. Because they want to be touched by him. They want to be healed by him. This woman who is weak, who's had this disease for 12 years, losing blood, what am I going to do? The Bible tells us they were touching the hem of his garment. The hem of my pants is down here at the bottom. Picture her getting on her belly and crawling through that crowd just to touch the hem of his garment. He looks around. He asks the question, which is kind of comical. Who touched me? The disciples are like, what do you mean? There's a lot of people touching you. And so he finds the woman. She's trembling. She's there. And he says, woman, because you got up off your couch and you crawled on your belly and you touched the hem of my garment, you're well today. That's not what he said. He said, your faith has made you well. A faith that has action. In the farmer's eyes, a tree that never bears fruit is not struggling, right? In a farmer's eyes, that tree's dead. Faith that is not demonstrated is faith that is not alive. We don't measure faith by what we say in worship, what we sing in worship, what we pray in worship. We measure it by how we live when we leave out of worship. You sound good this morning. I sat right here, and you know the song that we just sang, Well Done, right? There's a time in there when guys, if you didn't know this, there's a time, guys, where you're supposed to bow out in that song, except Joseph, he's leading it, right? I closed my eyes. And up here, Joseph, you hear a lot up here, can't you, brother? Up here, it sounded so amazing. You sound good this morning. But let's not just sound good. Hey, you look good this morning. I mean, the spring is coming, man. You can see the bright, right? You know, and I don't want to embarrass the family, but this family right here, I mean, the daughter matches the dad, and the sons are matching the mama. I mean, Justin, you planned all that, didn't you? Good job, buddy. It's beautiful, though. It's beautiful. Look at this pink right here. You look good, but let's not just look good. Maybe you feel good. Maybe you're praying today. Maybe everything. I mean, everybody did a great job leading us today. When we go out of here, let's put that faith in action. Finally, James reminds us You want to have the type of faith that pleases God? You need to have a faith that is intentional and not just intellectual. I had to use that. Trust me, it's so long because I had to come up with the letters that all sound, they're all the right. Start with the same letter. That is intentional and not just intellectual in obedience. Sorry, that is a very long point, but here's what it means. Listen to James 2:18 and 19. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Oh, by the way, even the demons believe and tremble. To me, this is one of the most convicting truths in all Scripture. You feel pretty good about yourself and your belief and coming and maybe we've decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to be here for worship. Check. I'm going to listen in worship. Check. I'm going to write a check today or give online. Check. I'm going to do this. But you know what? When I leave out of here, I'm taking off my church clothes and I'm going to leave Jesus Christ right there. Okay? The demons also believe. Just because you believe and you went through the motions, just because I believe and I go through the motions, I'm no better than the demons, he said, because they also believe. They believe in God. They recognize truth. They acknowledge His power. Think of that. Do you hear? Here's what demons do. Here's what that demonic force that's against us. Here's what they do. They believe in God. They recognize truth. They acknowledge His power. Go back and look what Legion did. But you know what they don't do? Follow it up with action. Information without transformation is insufficient. You know, you can know Scripture. I can know Scripture. I can agree with truth. You can agree with truth. And we can still not surrender our lives to God. In other words, we can know Him and not know Him. When I was preparing, and my children are much better students than I happen to be, and I'm proud of them for that. Stay that way. Don't listen to what Dad's about to say. I daydream, okay? Now, when I got to my major classes, I love Bible, and so I was really in tune for that. Still wish I'd have probably been a better student in college, but they would say, hey, you're going to have a test on Friday. What? I mean, what? I don't even know what we're doing, you know? So you know what you do? You cram for it, right? Cram for it. And I made pretty decent grades. So I crammed for that test just enough to make a grade on that test. So I knew the answers, but did I know anything about it? I did not. Oh, we can know about Adam and Eve. We can know about Noah. We can know about Moses. We can know about the prophets. We can know about the king. We can know about Jesus. We can know about Daniel. We can know about Abraham. We can know about all these things and still not know Him. Belief that never becomes obedience is empty. Do we just know? Or do we follow? Do we just agree? Or do we act? You see, James gives us two powerful examples. Look at James 2:21 and 22. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see, that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. Abraham did not just believe God. He obeyed Him, and that was hard. You know what God's asked us to do? To surrender to Him and to love others. Love Him with everything you got. That's total surrender, right? Love Him with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. And love others as yourself. Here it is. I'm thankful God knew that we needed it pretty simple and plain, right? He said, on these two laws hang all the laws. Love Me. Love God with everything you've got. Love your neighbor as yourself. He hasn't asked us to do hard things. Abraham, sacrifice your son, your only son Isaac. That's hard. How do you know Abraham believed Him? Because he took it to the dagger. Faith is proven when it's practiced under pressure. But He also talks about Rahab here. Look at James 2:25. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? By the way, you know what Rahab is when she meets these messengers? Not a good person. She's a sinner. I don't even know if she knows God. Maybe she knows Him, but she certainly didn't know Him. But when she began that faith, maybe it was at the word that they said, hey, you do this, God's going to save you. Maybe at that moment, her belief meter went up. I don't know. But here's what I do know. She took it to action. See, she had a responsive heart. She didn't delay. She didn't debate. She acted immediately. God honors faith that responds, not faith that hesitates. Kent came and read to us from Matthew 25. That's a powerful chapter. You know, it talks about early in that chapter the parable of the talents. And then Jesus gets down to where the rubber meets the road. And in that story that Kent read, or in that text that Kent read to us, when the master's talking to his servants, you remember when they said, when did we see you without any clothes on? When did we visit you when you were sick? When did we feed you when you were hungry? When did we give you something to drink? Now, he said, when you did it to the least of these. But how many of those leasts have we passed up and not helped? If we view those leasts as Jesus Christ, would it make a difference? You see, we can't just have good intentions. Good intentions never changed a soul. But obedience has. So it's come a time when I'm going to ask me, what have we been putting off? What have we intended to do spiritually and been putting off? Where has God already instructed something in our lives, something we're well aware of, and we haven't responded? I can't answer that question for you, just like you can't answer it for me. But we need to have an honest conversation with ourselves right now. What have I been intending to do spiritually? Remember in January when you said, hey, in 2026, I'm going to spiritually do this. And now it's March, almost April. You had good intentions, but have you done it? God's instructed a lot of things from Genesis to Revelation, right? Matthew to Revelation under that new law, right? Acts to Revelation under that new law. He's instructed a lot of things. What has He already instructed that I keep putting off? Take away the excuses right now. And take away the, I'm going to do this in the future, because I cannot guarantee you tomorrow. But I can guarantee you this moment right now. This is the moment to move from intention to action. You see, we will not stand before God judged by our good intentions. God's going to judge us by our obedience. It was at that point, when I was putting this sermon together, that I was going to say, and I'll go ahead and say it now, if you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, why would you put that off? Really, why? I'd love to hear the answer. Why would you, again, there's so many conveniences. We're not saying you got to go get baptized in a 20 degree body of water. However, it'd still be worth it. There's a heater in our baptistry. And it's heated, that water. We've got clothes you can change into. Or what about somebody that says, you know what, I want to respond, but I just haven't to the invitation. I need to repent of this. You can walk this out. Oh, I don't want to walk this out. Find an elder. What's really stopping you? And it's at that point that I said, Joseph, let's stand and sing. But then Joseph sang a song this morning. Led us in a song this morning that the lyrics hit me between the eyes. And so I want to say all that I just said, and then I want to add these lyrics, and then I want to ask you one more question. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah! Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah! Death has lost its grip on me. You, Him, have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Why would you take what that man has done for us and not be obedient today? If you have a need, won't you come right now as Joseph leads us in this song.